Hello, how you doing? My name is Kewan Foster. Now I'm the church planter and pastor of Out of Love Ministries. And on behalf of the Out of Love Ministry community of faith, we welcome you and thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We pray and hope that you are blessed by the word of God that is about to get ready to come forth. We ask that you consider partnering with us as we partner with God to help spread the message of the gospel around the globe. And you can do that by becoming a subscriber to our YouTube channel, clicking likes on our videos, and sharing those videos with others. Again, welcome and thank you. And we continue to say a special thank you to all of you all who continue to support this platform, to support this YouTube channel. We're up to 115 subscribers. Around this time, about a year ago, we weren't even close to that amount. But as many of you all know, through circumstances and with the pandemic and us just trying to be intentional about making sure that we still connect with people and connecting with people through technology, wanted to be able to continue to get the word of God out. And so again, we pray and hope that you have been blessed. So you all, we are getting ready to come to a conclusion. And next week should be, now y'all hear me, I said should be, but next week should be the last part in our Nehemiah sermon series. I pray and hope that you all have been blessed by this sermon series as we have walked through the book of Nehemiah, just focusing on the high points as Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to do something that God put in his heart to do, something that was greater than just rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem with the help of the people, but to rebuild and restore the people's hope in God, to rebuild and restore the people's faith in God, to rebuild and restore the people's relationship with God. And so last week we looked at chapter 9 and we focused and we talked about how the people of Israel came together in community and how the people stood before God, and they stood before God in a state of brokenness as they were fasting, as they had sackcloths on, and as they had dirt on their heads. And the reason for this is because the people acknowledged, they recognized once Ezra and the rest of the priestly leadership began to open up the book, the word of God, and to read from it, the people began to understand that the covenant that our ancestors made that impacts us, because this was a covenant that expanded from generation to generation, we have not been upholding our end of this agreement with God, but that God has been upholding his agreement. And when the people discovered, as the word of God was being read, the things that they should be doing that they were not doing, the Bible says that their hearts were, basically they were disturbed in their heart, and the people were moved to confess and repent before God. And so what we're going to look at today is, as we look at some portions, about two verses, because it leads into chapter 10 from verses 9. We're going to look at the end of chapter 9, and we're going to look at and focus on chapter 10. And then next week, we will look at chapters 11 through 13 as we close this sermon series. And so let me go ahead right now, and I want to start by reading verse 37. And keep in mind again, as I read chapter 9, verse 37, you're going to have to keep in mind, especially if you listen to last week's message, that this is a continuation of what we spoke about last week. As the people are gathered as a community of faith and the reading of the word of God is going on. And so right now, as I read verse 37, this is still that same matter and context that's going on. The people are assembled together and the word of God is being read before them. Here's what Nehemiah chapter 9, starting at verse 37. Well, we're going to start at verse 36 says. It says, "Behold, we are slaves this day in the land that you gave to our fathers to enjoy its fruits and its goods gifts. Behold, we are slaves. And its rich yield goes to the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They rule over our bodies and over our livestock as they please, and we are in great distress. Because of all of this, we make," and I want y'all to listen to this, "a firm covenant in writing on the sealed documents are the names of our princes, our Levites, and our priests. Let me stop right here, you all, but I'm going to pick up and read. I want to stop right here. So what the people are saying, as the word of God has been read, the people have been convicted. Their hearts have been pricked. The people have been moved to be able to say, you know what? We realize that we have been living in sin and we have been disobedient to God. But on this day, right now, we want to recommit ourselves and we want to reaffirm the covenant that our ancestors made back in Egypt when they said that they would follow God and God would be their God and we will be their people. And then chapter 10 in Nehemiah, at least chapter 10, verses 1 through 27, it is the listing of the names of the people who name was sealed on the covenant. It says, I'm just going to read chapter 10, verse 1. It says, on the seals are the names of Nehemiah. This is Nehemiah, who we've been talking about, who's the central focus of this book, the governor and the son of Hilkiah and Zedekiah. And then from there, you see all the other names that are listed. Now, here's what I want to say, you all, and here's what I love when I look at this, and especially when you look at chapter 9, verse 38. Look at what the leaders did. The leaders set the tone. Look at what verse 38 says, you all. Verse 38 says, because of all of this, we make a firm covenant in writing on the sealed document are the names of our princes, our Levites, and our priests. These are the leaders, right? Excuse me, from the governmental leaders to the religious leaders, they set the tone and said, listen, we recognize that we have not been living a life that's pleasing to God. Therefore, we put our names on this document as we reaffirm this covenant that we are going to follow God with our whole heart and be sold out. And they put their names down on this document and they were the leaders. Oh boy, how I wish today that we would have more leaders, especially in the church, who would take this type of disposition. Do you understand the revival in many churches that would take place and in many communities if the church leaders would just stand up and say, you know what? We have been unfaithful to God and we have been unfaithful to fulfilling our responsibilities and duties as kingdom citizens in the kingdom. And they repent before God and they come before the congregation and the rest of the community and acknowledge how they have not done what God has called them to do. Just think about the impact that that will have on the people in the church and those outside of the church if church leaders actually did that. Because again, the church leadership sets the tone, you all. The people in the community of faith and the people in the community, they're looking at the leadership to see how you carry and how you conduct yourself. How do you respond in a time of crisis? How do you respond to the political issues and the social issues that are impacting our community? How are you responding to these things? But more importantly, are you demonstrating the love and compassion of Christ and walking in the light as he is in the light? Help me, Holy Spirit. So chapter 10, now I'm going to read verses 28. I'm going to start at verses 28 and I'm going to go ahead and read through verses 39. And what I'm about to get ready to read to you all, and you're going to clearly hear it. This is what the people, as they are agreeing to to reaffirm and recommit themselves to the covenant that God made with them, made with their ancestors in Exodus. And we're going to look at Exodus chapter 24, because I want to be able to read and I want you to hear what their ancestors said and the commitment that they made before God, because these same people who are the offspring of their ancestors are now saying, we are going to do what our ancestors did, but we're going to reaffirm. We're going to recommit ourselves to the commitment. But I want you to listen to the obligations of the covenant. Everything that you're about to get ready to hear are the things that the people said that they are going to do. Now, keep in mind, nobody made them do this. They themselves did this on their own. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 28 says this, you all. The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who have separated themselves from the people of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all who have knowledge and understanding, join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God and his rules and his statutes. We will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land or take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day, and we will forego the crops of the seventh year and the exaction of every debt. We also take on ourselves the obligation to give yearly a third part of shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, the regular grain offering, the regular burnt offering, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the appointed feasts, the holy things, and the sin offerings to make atonement of Israel and for all the work of the house of our God. We, the priests, the Levites, and the people have likewise cast lots for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God according to our father's houses at times appointed year by year to burn on the altar of the Lord our God as it is written in the law. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruit of our ground and the first fruit of all fruits of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord. Also, to bring to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and of our flocks, and to bring the first of our dough and contributions, the first of every fruit, the wine and the oil to the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and to bring to the Levites the tithe from our ground, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all our towns where we labor. And the priests, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chamber of the storehouse. For the people of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of grain, wine, and oil to the chambers where the vessels of the sanctuary are, as well as the priests who minister and the gatekeepers and the singers. We will not neglect the house of our God. And so we continue our walkthrough of the book of Nehemiah by looking at part 15 on our walkthrough of the book of Nehemiah. And so again, as we said, the focus in chapter 10, the focus in the latter part of chapter 9 and chapter 10 deals with the people reaffirming the covenant with God, recommitting themselves to follow with their whole heart, to be committed to doing things the way that God has instructed them to do it. Let me tell you all something. When God tells you to do something, and when God tells you how he wants something done, it's not for us to say, well, Lord, what do you mean? I'm really not feeling the way that you're telling me I need to go about, making this a part of my daily life. Who cares about? And I'm sorry, you all. I know this may sound harsh, and forgive me. I promise you, I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be real. Who cares about what I feel? Just let that sink in. It's the feelings of humanity that cause sin to enter into the world. So who cares about our feelings? Was it not Eve who was tempted by Satan? And the Bible said that when he tempted her and he was able to get her to have a different perspective of how she viewed the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says, so now when she looked at the fruit, it was desirable for one to be eaten, and she took of the tree and she ate it. She got caught up in her feelings, and because of Adam's feelings and because of Eve's feelings, sin entered into the world. But I thank God that we serve a God who has feelings as well, because the scripture says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It was God in his feelings who demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. So be mindful and be careful of how you allow your feelings to guide and direct you, because your feelings will guide and direct you in some places that God never intended for you to be. Now, some of you all right now better type amen, because you know I'm telling the truth. Some of you all, your feelings got you fired from your job and dismissed because you got caught up in your feelings and you said and did some things that you know you should have not done. Some of you all have ended up eradicating and cutting off wholesome and good life-breathing relationships because you got caught up in your feelings because somebody was trying to help your crazy behind, but you didn't want to listen. And so you ended up cutting off a relationship that was a healthy relationship. Come on, you all. Don't get caught up in your feelings. Get caught up in God. And we see that the people in Nehemiah, after they stood before God and confessed their sins, you see the steady progression and buildup that after they confessed their sins, now they're ready to recommit themselves to God. To recommit themselves to what? To the covenant that their ancestors made. Let's just go back, you all. You got to go back. See, let me help you understand something. In order for you to really be able to truly understand the word of God and what is going on as we talk about the grand story of the big story from Genesis to Revelation, you have to be able to understand this ideal and the biblical concept of a covenant. More specifically, the covenant that God made with Israel. I just want us to quickly go to Exodus chapter 24. You can read it. It starts in chapter 19, but I want to read chapter 24 because I want to read to you right now the covenant that the nation of Israel made with God. God did not force them to do this. God came to them with this contract, with this agreement, with this proposition. He put it on the table. And the people said, we agree. We vow. We take an oath to follow and do everything that you have commanded. Listen to Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 1, you all. The Bible says, then he, that's God, said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and all the people answered, I want y'all to listen, with one voice, and said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Y'all heard that? The people said, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They didn't have to make that commitment, but they chose to make that commitment. Listen to me, you all. Verse 4 says, and Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain there at Mount Sinai in the wilderness. And 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, this is the people, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, and we will be obedient. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words, my Lord and my God. So what I just read to you from Exodus chapter 24, in those verses, is the covenant that the nation of Israel made with God. And keep this in mind, you all, and we find this later on in Deuteronomy, that when God made this covenant with the nation of Israel, God said this covenant has two parts to it, you all. See, the thing that many people are misunderstood about, and it's very sad to see so many people who are misinformed. This is why, as citizens in the kingdom of God, we have a responsibility to not only share the gospel with those who do not know God as their personal Lord and Savior, Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but we also have an obligation to call our brothers and sisters who are in Christ back to God, who have drifted off because they are not walking according to the statutes and the commandments of the Lord. What are you saying, Kiwan? Here's what I'm saying, you all, and please hear me, when I say this. People are misinformed if you think that you can live a life whereby you walk consistently and frequently in sin, and you think that God is going to bless you. You're walking in deception if you think that you can live a life that is not inside the will of God, where you do everything that's contrary to the word of God, and you actually think that God is going to be pleased with me, God is going to be pleased with you, and that God is going to bless your efforts and bless you. You won't find a passage of scripture in the Bible that teaches that. That is not biblical teaching. The Bible teaches that we are to forsake sin. The Bible teaches that we are to draw close to God and he will draw close to us. The Bible teaches that we are to bear good fruit and that our fruit shall remain. The Bible declares and decrees and teaches that the expectations that God has of us is that we will love him with our whole heart, with our whole soul, and with our whole mind. The people of Israel made a covenant with God when they came out of Egypt. And they said, Lord, we're going to do everything the way you tell us to do it. And Moses, following the customs and traditions at that particular time, took the blood of an innocent animal, slaughtered the animal and threw some of the blood on the altar and took the blood and threw it on the people, signifying that this blood right here is ratifying the covenant and the agreement that you have made with God. And watch this, you all. It wasn't even shortly thereafter where these same people who made a covenant, watch this, that they will not follow or put any other gods or false idols before the Lord God, and they will not do any of these other things. Shortly thereafter, they made this covenant. They broke it by making a false idol, by making golden calves and worshiping the calves, saying that these are the gods that brought us up out of Egypt. And we know how that story went. God was so mad that God told the Levites, or actually Moses told the Levites, he said, listen, get a sword and you go through this camp from the front to the back and you slaughter and you kill people until you're told to stop. And they did it. And because of their obedience, the Levites were the ones who were chosen to be the clan that would end up standing before God and serving as priests. But here in Nehemiah, remember, the people in Nehemiah's time, as he got back to Jerusalem, they're in a state of brokenness. They're not following the commandments of God. They're not following the statutes of God. The word of God is read by Ezra. The priests begin the leadership begins to try to restore and put back in place the religious system whereby the people will focus their hearts on God and will build their lives around God and the temple service. And the people were led to say, you know what? We want to recommit ourselves to God. We want to do this the right way, according to the statutes and the commandments of God. And they obligated themselves, you all, to do specific things. And I'm not going to go through everything. I've read it. But they obligated themselves and says, you know what? In verse 30, we will not give our daughters to the people of the land or take their daughters for our sons. What do they mean by that? Well, what you understand and what you see in biblical times, you all, is that one of the reasons that God forbid and God discouraged the people from mingling, when I say people, the nation of Israel, from interacting or mingling or marrying foreigners is because the foreigners practice polytheism. They worship idols. But the nation of Israel, because God had introduced himself to them and they knew God, they worshiped one God and practiced monotheism. So God discouraged the people from marrying outside of their race and marrying foreigners because God did not want them to become contaminated and to be led astray by worshiping the idols that the foreigners had. Does that make sense? And we see this, you all, when we look at Solomon. When you look at Solomon, the son of David, the Bible teaches us that his heart started out pure. He started out with the right motives. He started out on fire with God, and he had a passion that burned to know the things of God, and he just wanted to lead the people of God in a right way that was pleasing to God. And the Bible says that as he began to grow and as his fortune grew, the Bible begins to tell us that Solomon began to do some things that God commanded the people and especially kings not to do. The Bible says that Solomon began to take many wives and concubines into his chambers. And the scripture tells us that as he got older, it was the foreign women who led his heart away from God to the point where a man who started off with God ended up introducing idol worship into his life. And he's worshiping vain idols, you all, that he already knows are dumb and have no power because he's been exposed to and he's seen the power of God. But yet and still, the temptation to capitulate came upon Solomon. And because of his sins, the United Kingdom, the kingdom that was united under his father David, ended up being broken and becoming divided, where you had the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But it didn't happen while Solomon was alive. And God told him that. God says, listen, the kingdom is going to be divided, but for the sake of your father who served me with his whole heart, I'm not going to do it while you're living. I'm going to do it when your son is living, which, if I'm not mistaken, was Rehoboam. It was under the leadership of Rehoboam that the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes, were broken up. And then you had a north and you had the south. The southern kingdom continued to follow God. The northern kingdom developed their own religious system where they basically, from that day forward, worship idols. They didn't worship the one true God. So that's one of the reasons why God did not want the people to intermarry with foreigners. So when they say we will not give our daughters to the people of the land or take their daughters for ourselves, they're basically saying, listen, we know what your word says. We're not going to give our daughters or marry or let our children marry their children because we want to keep it pure. We're not going to allow idol worship to come in and infiltrate us, Lord. We want to follow you with our whole heart. And then as you continue to read, you read about are other things that they obligated themselves to do as they made a commitment before God to go back to keeping the Sabbath day holy. They said, Lord, we're not going to allow merchants to come and to sell different product on the Sabbath day. This day is holy and this is your day. And we're going to do what you said in the beginning, Lord God. We're going to keep it sacred, Lord. This is what we are going to do because we love you and we are recommitting ourselves to you. And what I'm asking you all is this, you all. Some of you all have gone through some things the past year and a half. Some of you all are still going through some things. Here's my question to you. Could it be that God has you right now where he wants you? Because God is trying to get you to understand that it's time for you, like the nation of Israel, to acknowledge your sins and to confess your sins, to repent of your sins, and to recommit yourself back to him and following him with your whole heart. Could it be that God is knocking on the door of your heart saying, all you got to do is let me back in? You all listen, the clock is ticking. And I don't know if you've been taking note of the various signs that are around us and what's been going on, not just where you live at, but what's been going on in this world. Jesus is going to be coming back soon. No one knows when. The Bible says when he comes back, he going to come like a thief in the night. And if you know anything about a thief does not tell you. Let me back up and say this. A thief with any intelligence is not going to tell you when they're going to come to your house and rob you. They're going to do it when you least expect it. Jesus is going to come back when we least expect it. So my encouragement to you and my encouragement to me, we got to get our life in order and get our house in order and recommit ourselves to God and recommit ourselves to helping advance the kingdom of God. There is so much work out here that needs to be done, but it's going to be real challenging for you to do it if you are wrapped up and wrestled down and caught up in sin. God needs his people to be free so that they can worship him in spirit and in truth. God needs you to be free because there's somebody at your job that needs to hear a word. There's somebody next to you, your neighbor, that needs to hear a word. There's somebody in your family that needs to hear a word that God has locked up in you. And they don't need to hear a word of judgment. They need to hear a word of compassion and love. They need to hear a word. God is calling you to come back home. Will you answer the call? I'm so glad that the people appear in this passage of scripture that they are sincere. And the leaders led the way by making the commitment. But what we're going to see, you all, come next week as we close it out, we're going to talk about how the people had the dedication of the wall. And at the dedication of the wall, they had the choir and the choir broke out singing. It was a celebratory time. The people were excited and they blessed God. Then Nehemiah ended up leaving for a season of time to go back to the Persian Empire. Because remember, Nehemiah took a leave of absence from his job as being a cupbearer under the leadership of King Artaxerxes, but he had made a promise and a commitment that he was going to come back. And so scholars believe, and when you look at the book of Nehemiah, he went and came back and went and came back. Well, you're going to see what happens next week when strong leadership is put in place that's intentional about following God, things get done with God in mind. But when that leadership is gone, or when there's not follow through, then the people revert back to not following God and following their own sinful nature. And so that's what we're going to talk about next week as we close out. We pray and hope that you have been encouraged by the word of the Lord. Again, it's time for you to come back home. It's time for you to repent. It's time for you to recommit your life to the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this word. Father, let us not soon forget it. Lord God, let us take it and write it down in the tablets of our heart so that it will not leave us. We ask all these blessings in your son Jesus' name. Amen.